So, as a computational scientist, I couldn't stand not to show you that picture about how much data actually we are generating. And it's amazingly that no one mentioned that amount of data. And if you look at where the data are, so it can be seen that emails are a huge amount of data, and Facebook and Google Search Index, Kaiser Medical Records, YouTube videos, amazingly not too much, and also data coming from just mentioned Collider, it's about 15 petabytes of data, and the Library of Congress digital collection, climatic data center database, and stock market database. So, and to me, as a biomedical scientist, it's really interesting where biological data fit here. So, and I did some my own research and estimation. So I looked at data which currently generating at largest speed, data from high throughput sequencing machines. And they are coming to NCBI sequence read archive, which is currently more than 4 petabytes of data. So another huge amount of data are generated using RNA-seq, ChIP-seq, and other also sequencing technologies. And it's about 1/10 of petabyte of data. And also networks and pathways, other interactions, account for like 2/10 of petabyte of data. And this number grows very fast, you can imagine. So I prepared the same slide like 3 months ago, and it was like 0.5 petabyte of data. So that means even if we forget about imaging data, which is really huge, and forget about data which are not in public databases, we have, and forget about health data, which are not actually easy to accessible, just for molecular biology data, we have about 5 petabytes of data, and this amount grows tremendously, obviously. So, and in biology and data which we are dealing with sequences, structures, biochemical data, expression data, and so on. So traditionally, they've been collected in databases. And now we have about 2,000 databases in molecular biology. But still, a lot of data are hanging on labs' websites and never been submitted to any databases. So, and also, how actually can we deal with that amount of data? So, and traditionally, and it started in the early of 90s, data were integrated in some data resources like NCBI, Entry, or GeneCart resource for human genes. But such, and they connect data by means of links. But such an approach obviously leaves a lot of resources out of picture, so leaving us to work with partial data. So, and the obvious goal would be how to get all data at the same time without this curation. For example, GeneCart is a very high quality resource, but they have about 20 curators, and they can bring data only from 100 databases for just human genes. So, I mean, with that amount of data which currently we're generating, it's impossible to do human curation, and actually very hard to get funding for doing that. So one of the approaches, which kind of obvious, it's using semantic web technologies and biological ontologies, and to bring data in one data warehouse so they can be easily searched and served. So, and we are doing that, and we've started doing that like 5 years ago, and we call our system IntegromeDB. It's a database, and it's also a search engine. So, and the cornerstone of this IntegromeDB, so it's a database. It was modeled after integrated ontology, which we also created using using OBA ontologies, open biological ontologies. So now it's about 350 ontologies available in biology, and this number is growing. And OBA Foundry provides very good efforts to link those ontologies, to map them to each other. So, and for our purpose, we started with basic ontology, which would match our database schema. And then we mapped all our ontologies to our schema. So basically, we operate on the whole range of existing ontologies. What we want to provide the users is kind of web search engine and also the integrated database. So I will talk about web stuff first. So we have web pages. So if you start doing Google, and you probably heard today from Elkan talks, that you never will get what you want for biology research, because you will get pages which are relevant to the users, not relevant to biological data. So, and we thought how we can solve that problem. So, and we decided we will start with well-established biological databases, like NCBI databases and other very well, gene cards, other curated databases. And then we start going through links on those databases, fetching URLs, and like crawling them and building our database. So that's how we do that. For example, we start from one page, and then we go fetch links on that database, and it leads us to another page and so on. And eventually we will go to some other database, and so on and so on. And during our experiments on different benchmarks, we realized that when we have like average size of biological database, and if you crawl up to 10 links, 10 pages down, we eventually will get all those pages from that database. So, and what we do next, we do something similar to what Google does. We calculate for each page frequency of the ontological terms on that page. And we calculate based on that information, and also based on some other information, like page rank is actually how popular the page. We calculate relevance score using that simple formula. So, and again, doing different kind of benchmarks, we adjusted those coefficients. So, and when we have that information, we can serve. So, and so far we processed about a billion web pages, which somehow related to biology, because they've been taken from fetching websites from our seed databases. So, and we process them. Obviously, some of them are not related to our research, but about 20 million domain names are very well related, and we are now building a catalog of those data. So, and from the user's perspective, when the user can search our database, our portal, for example, for P53 gene or protein, the user can get the list of websites, web pages, which are arranged by the relevance. So, and scrolling down to see less and less relevant pages. So, and another issue which we are working on is serving data per se. So, and it's actually a very hard problem, because what we want to do, we want to map large databases which we really can't crawl because they are very huge. For example, if you start crawling GeneBank using one server, you will need 50 years to do that. So, and so how to manage just dump all those large databases and at the same time extract data from small web pages, it's very hard research problems, actually. And I would be glad to talk about that in more details. So, and again, for the user, we can provide data, which we can get from small databases, and again, pages. So it's like both data and pages. So, and this is some statistics. So we launched the resource less than 2 years ago, and the number of users grows. And also we provide API, and we also allow users to submit their own data. Not secured, but still it's work in progress. Yes, and those people whom I should thank and funding, so it would not be possible without our wonderful machines, Gordon, and the Data Oasis resources, which provided by NSF and Gordon Seed Grant. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia.